Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 8 and verse 8 and 9, and then I'll read some more shortly, but and stay with me tonight as I try to teach you something. Perhaps, you know, on Tuesday nights, the Lord, I think, gives me these life application things for you that want to know how to live a better life. I've learned a long time ago that people never give up on God because they didn't believe the doctrine, or they didn't believe in Jesus' name baptism, or whatever the doctrine of faith is. They give up because they got discouraged. They got discouraged with life. They got discouraged with things in life. So if I can help you in life, then I will also help you in living for God. Because when you have so many things you have to tend to in life, it takes away from your living for God. So there's a warning that the Apostle Peter gives us, and he says for us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Rains, just, unjust, sun shines on both. They go through trouble, we go through trouble. But some are devoured and others are not. I want to talk to you about the danger of being devoured. The danger of being devoured. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for this opportunity to minister to the people of God. And I ask you, Lord, to help me. Without your help, I can do nothing, Lord. But with your help, God, we become strong and mighty, for you're the one that gives us strength to the weak. We ask you to be with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see that young man back there. I think it was Sister Andrea. We thank you for being with us tonight. First of all, this word devoured is used a lot in the Bible. And a lot of times we think of eating it down. You're like swallowing it down, you know. But actually in the Bible, it meant to be swallowed up. Devoured meant to be swallowed up with something. And only one place, I think it is in Job, where he talked about the enemies, the way they eat, not, you know, food and things like that. But when it talked in a spiritual sense, and it had a spiritual amplification, it was swallowed up, which means to be engulfed or completely overtaken. And in case you didn't know it, if you don't think you have an enemy, you are wrong. And if you think everybody likes you, you're wrong again. Many people treat you like they like you, but they don't care anything about you. And so your real enemy, of course, is the devil. And what he wants to do is to swallow you up, completely engulf you, which is what hell is about, right? Being engulfed. That's what hell is, being totally engulfed. And so he wants to, in this life, to get you totally engulfed and totally swallowed up with the things of this life. And so your enemy will try to devour you with a sword. The tongue. That's what your enemy to do. You want to find out my enemies, just talk to them. And they will quickly try to devour you with their sword. Completely, obliterally swallow you up. And so David was used to this. David made a lot of mistakes. But he was used to being devoured even by his own people. Paul even had two perils. He mentioned five perils. Two of them, he said, was mine own countrymen and my brethren. My neighbors, the people in my own community, and my brothers and sisters in the church said they tried to devour me through perils. And he called it a peril. So David wrote this, "Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good." Do you ever notice how bad news travels so much faster than good news? A rumor that's not true travels. Facts travel like a turtle, and rumors travel like a rabbit. "And lying rather than to speak righteousness." Selah. "Thou lovest all devouring words. Oh, thou deceitful tongue. I never loved him anyway. You ain't never going to be nothing. You hear me? They're nothing but a liar. That's all they are. They're nothing but a cheater. And they want to devour you with their word. Swallow you up with their words. And they love those devouring words. They get great pleasure out of running you down. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. For he shall take thee away, devour you, and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. What is that? It's called death. Death. The Lord despises those wicked tongues that devour other people. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at them. The most evil part of our body is our tongue, which is controlled by what we think. For out of a man's heart, meaning his mind, he speaks. And so James wrote this, that a man's tongue is an unruly evil. And that no man has ever tamed. Well, he said lion's been tamed, bear's been tamed, birds have been tamed, fish have been tamed. But a tongue can no man tame. No man can tame a tongue. By the way, I heard they're serving beef tongue over in Elton if you want to eat any beef tongue. Along with chicken feet, I think they have that. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm not just making this up. I had a client come in and they cooked beef tongue over there in Elton. So if you're hungry for beef tongue, it's that away. Evil people are your adversary. The devil uses people just like God uses people. So it becomes people against people, which is really spirit against spirit. Right? And so he instructs us and he warns us to be sober. Stay awake. Don't be drunk on anything. Not just wine. Don't be so engulfed in anything that you don't know you're being taken in. One thing I hate, and the Lord does too, is somebody to be suckered into something. Widows get taken advantage. They call my mom all the time. Calling her all the time, trying to sucker her into sending money to Jamaica and taking advantage of a weaker mind. Now, my mom's mind's not weak yet, but that's what they do. They're trying to devour you and take advantage of your weakness. And that's what a lion does. You ever looked at lion, how they chase? They'll chase the whole herd, but look for the weak one. They don't go after the lead zebra. They go after the weak zebra, the little one, the one that can't keep up, the crippled one. And they're going to devour that one. And so it is. He's letting us know, be sober and be vigilant. That means be ready. Be on guard for this. And many writings, Paul would say, and Peter would say, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, of this one thing. Don't just act like it's not there. Don't act like everybody loves you. They don't. Don't act like everybody treats you to your best interest. They don't. Said he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Looking for a way to get into your mind and your heart. Amen. And what he's looking for is a weaker mind and a weaker heart. So that's why he said you must be steadfast in the faith. Firm in what you believe. Amen. And be aware of what you're around and who you communicate with. But sometimes your own worst enemy, now that's the enemy after you, but sometimes your worst enemy is the enemy. It's inside of you. And you can devour yourself. You can be so eat up with anger and with hatred and with malice and no one even do anything to you, but you just get engulfed with it that you can't even sleep at night because you're devoured. That's not the only way to be devoured. I've seen men devoured with fishing. I've seen women devoured with QVC. I've seen men devoured at PPG. They get so caught up in what they're doing that it swallows them. And the very thing they chased after is chasing them, and they don't know it. Because you have to be careful what you pursue after, because it will turn and pursue you. So if I pursue after God, God will turn to me and pursue me. And I'm going to show you that to be so. He said in one place, draw nigh unto me, pursue me. And guess what I'll do? I'll pursue you. I'll draw nigh unto you. But if you want to pursue evil, guess what? Evil will pursue you. And you'll be overtaken by it. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? People get swallowed up in all kinds of things. People get swallowed up in debt. More bankruptcies going on than ever before. And God bless everyone that overspent. There's sometimes people get, there's illnesses and things that happen. Business things go bad. I understand all that. But what happens is you get over swallowed up and engulfed with a mountain of debt that you can't get out of. And so many times, I mean, in my business, I've had people come in that made $100,000 a year, a lot of them. And this is what they say, I have nothing to show for it. They're waking up at 50 and 55 and 60 and going, I can't believe I made that much money. I have nothing. I'm going to preach to you tonight. You know what happened? It got devoured. You can't get it back. It is devoured. And so many times, if we're not careful, our time we need to spend with God gets devoured. The time you need to spend with your spouse, if you're not careful, gets devoured by other things. And the things that are most important get put to the side while you get devoured by other things. A June bug don't eat a tree over a night, no. But he'll eat it one leaf at a time, and he will devour the whole tree and kill the tree. He doesn't devour the tree, he devours the leaves on the tree. But the whole tree dies. And if we're not careful, we'll let our leaves be devoured and the plant dies. And we're of no good to the kingdom of God. It's not just in the world that we get devoured, and not just your enemies that devour you, because I like not to think that other church members and other churches but it's true. And there's where we also need to be sober. Don't think every church likes us. Don't think that every preacher likes me because we're Pentecostal. They don't. They don't. And I don't like a lot of them. So it works both ways. But the thing I'm not going to do is to bite them and devour them. That's the difference. And so Paul says to the Galatian church, a young church, he said, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Don't swallow each other up with all this stuff. Because if you swallow me up and I swallow you up, the kingdom of God is suffering. It's like I've said before, when Jesus got ready to feed the 5,000, he said, what do you have? Oh, we don't have nothing around here to eat. He said, well, check and see what you do have. And they brought up 2 fishes and 5 loaves that the little boy had. He said, we have this right here. And they're like, we have 5,000 people. And I think it was Nathaniel, one of them piped up and said, but what is that among so many? And while we're arguing, should we send them back to get more food or should we go buy this? Lord, it's getting late. And while we're discussing all this, 5,000 people are hungry. So if we get involved with all the fights that goes on in churches and all the fights that goes on in the pews and all the fights that goes on there, I won't have time to study and pray and give you anything to eat. And you'll starve because I'm fighting all these other things. And so that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to fight so many little battles you never win the war. This I say then, here's how you avoid this biting and devouring. Just walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just walk in the Spirit. So many times I talk to people that are devoured by so many different things. Marriages devour. Kids that you raised now devour you. And it's just, we have an enemy, folks, and he wants you to be devoured. He wants you to be overcome with trouble and strife and all of these other things. But when you look at the parable of the sower, you know, the parable of the sower where they sowed, I think it's 4 different things. Let's look at them real quick. He said, some was sown on the wayside. But immediately the birds came and devoured the seed. Early in the stage, it never got into the ground or off the ground, as we say. It never got going. As soon as the seed was out there, here comes the devourer. Because I'm going to show you, that's what he's called. Here comes the devourer. And he said, oh, look, easy prey here. And he just picks up that seed and it never does anything in that person. But then there's some that it said that are sown among the stony ground, and it does sprout, and it does put on a little flower or a little leaf and all that, but it says that it's devoured by the sun. The sun came out and scorched it because it had no roots, and the sun devoured it. Right? And he said that's the way persecution is. As soon as persecution, as he's explaining the parable, as soon as persecution comes along, somebody said something about me, I'm just going to quit. You got devoured. When you gave up, that's exactly what the enemy wanted you to do, was to give up because somebody said something. Lord have mercy, I'd never be up here if I went by that. Okay, so the sun was going to devour it, persecution. And then the next one's what? The thorns and the thistles. It devoured all the nutrients out of the ground. It devoured the space. It devoured the sunlight that was needed for the other plant. It says, so that brought forth fruit, but not to perfection. So the devil's okay with you blooming. He's okay with you putting on a little fruit. But don't ever be meat for the master's table. Don't ever get to where you're really fruitful and you can be eating. There's a lot of things I've raised that never stayed on there, but I couldn't eat them. They were there, and they just never really matured. So I couldn't eat them. But I went through all the motions and all the cycle, all the fertilizer, all the water and all that, but it never matured. It was devoured by the other things, devouring the nutrients and the sunlight. And then he said there was a seed that was sown in the good ground that brought forth much fruit, and it was devoid of being devoured. Right? So the difference is there's always a devourer out there that wants to devour the word of God out of you, the kingdom of God out of you. There's an enemy out there. So he said, be sober. Hey, wake up, be vigilant, get ready. Because if I told you tonight that at 12:01, there will be a person knocking on your door trying to rob you and your wife. Okay, set your clock, all right? Go ahead. Go home and set your clock and get you a good snooze and wake up at 12 o'clock so you can be ready at 12:01. You won't sleep. I said you won't go to sleep knowing that at 12:01 someone's going to knock on your door. Well, I'm here to tell you there's an enemy after your soul. It said it's high time that we awake out of sleep and slumber, for now is our salvation sooner than when we first believed. There's an enemy after your soul. Stay awake. Amen. Be vigilant and watch for him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's, he tells us, we know not the hour that enemy comes. So watch. And he compared that to his coming. You got to watch and wait for my coming. Now, here's my text. Malachi chapter 3 and 6. And before I read this, this talks about tithes and offering. That's really not the subject here. We're going to talk about it, but that's not, you know, if I get your heart right, I don't have to worry about you giving. This is the most giving church I've ever seen in all my life. And it's because your heart's right. If your heart's right, you're cheerful when you give. If your heart's not right, keep it, because it doesn't do you any good and we don't care. It's up to God. God will give us the increase whether you give or you don't give. But I want to show you the perils of not giving. Now, I'm not talking about money. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Wonderful. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are consumed. What is Jacob? That changing man, right? I talked to you, Israel's one, Israel the prince, and Jacob's the conniver, the sneaker, the always going to try to get by. Well, I'm just going to give this. I'm not going to give the full amount and all that. That's Jacob. And he said, I never changed. I required of Abel and Cain, and I require you, and I'm going to require of everybody till I come. The last time I read, he said, all the gold's mine, all the silver's mine. He said, all is mine. He said, the earth and the fullness thereof is mine. And you can't name anything to me that didn't come out of the earth, including you. You came out of the earth. The car you drive come out of the earth. It's metal. It comes out of the earth. The fruit you ate come out of the earth. That's the earth is his, and the fullness or whatever it brings forth belongs to God. So whatever it brings forth, it's not yours. It's his, but he lets you use it. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. Now watch. Even from the days of your fathers, you went away and have not kept them. He's asking them, return unto me. You are mine. Come back to me. This stuff you got is mine. Give it back to me. Whatever you have was mine. You left with it. Bring it back to me. And I will return to you. I will start giving you again if you'll start giving me back what I gave you. Now, if you borrow from me and you don't return it, you will borrow from me one time. If you borrow my weed eater, I'm making an announcement here, making a public announcement. If you borrow my weed eater and it's full of gas and has string on it and you bring it back with no gas or no string, do not ever ask me to borrow my weed eater again. Not happening. The Lord will have to help me to repent of that. So he's saying, you took my stuff. Who gave you that job? You took my stuff and you don't give me nothing back. Or you dribble it to me. You give me your leftovers. That's not how it works. I want your first fruit. I've raised figs and things enough to know the first ones are the best. I still got a few blackberries. You can't eat them. You can't eat them. They're bitter. And go, oh, here, God. Here's your blackberries. No, 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 no. First fruit. First fruit. That's been forever. When you look at Abel, he gave of the firstlings of his flock. And Cain gave of his abundance. Not the firstlings. That was the difference. And so you that want to give him leftovers, well, I'm going to show you what's going to happen. Return unto me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. Ye said, wherein shall we return? Well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? When did I borrow anything from you? What did you give me? I worked for this. I'm the one that went to college. I'm the one that worked hard for this. I'm the one that worked overtime for this. What did you give me? How about the health and the strength to work overtime? Will a man rob God? Brother Evans, years ago, some of you may remember Brother Evans, he said, not a man. Not a man. A man won't rob God, meaning not a real man. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how? Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. In this passage of Scripture, once again, it's really not about the tithes and the offerings. It's more of an example of what God's giving us, saying, you took from me. What, you see, when you rob somebody, you're taking what they have. You took from me what I have, and you're giving me nothing back for it. You're not even returning me anything for what I gave you. So you robbed me. Now, I've asked you before, how many of y'all been robbed? And some of you didn't raise your hands because you were thinking I meant with a gun or somebody stole your fishing rods out of your boat. I've had all of that, believe me. But what I'm worried about is not that. We can replace that. But what I've been robbed of is peace, joy, tranquility, love, long-suffering. I've been robbed, and I've let people rob me, and I've let other things rob me of these things, and I refuse to be robbed again. I refuse to be robbed again. I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be vigilant. I'm going to be waiting. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But I refuse to be robbed again. And I will never rob God again. There may be a day in my life where I robbed God. Did not give God the honor that he was due. I did not give God the time that he was due. I did not give God the prayers and the praise that he was due. I robbed him of the things he had given me. I was not giving him back near enough. What are you doing? Are you robbing God? Are you robbing him tonight? Are you taking from him things and you don't give back to him things? It's more, like I said, money's the easiest thing. That's the easiest thing to give God back. And so God gives us health. He gives us strength. And do we put any of that back into the kingdom of God? And I hope and I pray and I believe that most of you do. But if you don't, here's what happens in verse 9. You're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. They've robbed me. This whole nation has robbed me and still robbing me. But he said, bring ye all the tithe, which was a tenth. It wasn't, somebody said, oh, I paid my tithe. It's, a tithe means tenth. It doesn't mean anything but tenth. It's, if you give 5%, that's a good offering. But it doesn't become tithe until it reaches a tenth. Now, it's not just money. But what about a tenth of your time? What about a tenth of your thinking? What about a tenth of your reading? What about a tenth of your watching? What about a tenth of your texting? Nobody's shouting tonight. Because it's easy to give that money, or it should be. Should be. He said, bring it into the storehouse that there might be, may be meat in mine house. And prove me. Now watch close. I've got a good point here. He said, and prove me now. You return to me, he said, and I'll return to you. That's what we're reading here. You return to me, and I will return to you. When you start giving back to me, I'll start giving back to you. But if you're not going to give back to me, I'm not giving you. I'll rob you. Y'all didn't catch that. If you're going to rob me, I'm going to rob you. Because whatever you do to me, I do back to you. Whatsoever a man meets out, shall he meet again. And whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open, now prove me if you'll come back to me and put what I give you back into the storehouse. And again, it's not just money. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that ye shall not have room enough to receive it. Lord, have mercy. How many of you feel real blessed tonight? Amen. I feel like I'm the most blessed person in the world. And it's not because of the car you drive or those kind of things. But Lord, I'm still thankful I got my mind right now. I'm thankful I still got my health right now. The day will come where I won't. But you know what? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll still praise Him. Oh, glory to God. See if I won't do it. Just return to me and see if I don't return to you. So when you begin to give back God, the little bit He wants back, He multiplies what He gives you back. Multiplies. And I will. Now here's my point. Hear this. Malachi 3:11. So when you do that, and I will rebuke the devourer. The only problem you're having is not because you don't make enough money, not because you're not capable of making enough money, not because you're not capable of giving your time, not because you're not capable of reading, not because you're not capable of watching. He said, it's being devoured. And I am allowing it. I heard a man say one time, you don't give God His, He'll get it one way or another. You don't give it to Him, He'll get it. One of your car going to break down next week. Something's going to happen. God's not going to let you keep what He gives you. It's going to be devoured. How many of y'all believe that? It's going to be devoured. And so He says, when you start giving to me, I tell the devourer, stop. Yeah. Stop. But if you don't give to Him, He says, come on. Eat it one leaf at a time. Yeah. Don't ever let them get ahead. Let them bring that fruit and say, boy, this time, I got me a good job this time. And it don't work out. This time I found somebody and it don't work out. And I'm going to let you think it's going to work, but it ain't going to work out. Because by the time you would get it, it's devoured. I can tell you from planting seeds, the hardest time is when you first plant it. The old crows will go scratch it up and get your seed. It's over with. But right when that tomato is almost getting ripe, right before it turns red, here comes the red bird. And he says, before it gets red, and the squirrels, I'm going to eat it before he does. And he devours it. And you go, another bad tomato. And you're the one that planted it. You're the one that fertilized it. You're the one that staked it. You're the one that put the hose around it to keep it straightened up. And he devours it. And the Lord said, come on, Redbird. Get him. But when you start giving to God, you're going to go out there, hallelujah, I can give some of these to the pastor right here. Don't give me any. I can't eat tomatoes. But I got so much, I'm just going to start giving them away. And I got abundance. Because the Lord called the devourer off. Now you understand why some people never have anything? They never have anything because they're not giving back to God. So He just says, come on, never, don't let them get ahead. Just let them think they're going to get ahead, but don't never let them get ahead. And they never do. They never do. I will rebuke the devourers for your sake. When you return to me, I'm going to return to you. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You're not going to say, well, all that work I did and I got nothing. You're going to go, man, I've got this much left over. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I never knew I could live off of such a little and have so much. And all the nation, now here's why. You remember why I told you that David killed Goliath? Do you remember? Let me give you a test. Does anybody remember, I preached it about 2 or 3 months ago, why David killed Goliath? He said, here's why I'm killing him. Why? He said, is there not a cause? But what? He wanted the king's daughter? No. That was one of the things he asked. He said, what will a man get that kills this giant? And they said, he gets the king's daughter, which was trouble, and he gets his family to be freed. He won't have to pay taxes anymore. One other thing, he'll be enriched, a lot of riches. But that's not why he killed him. If you read on down that he killed Goliath so the whole world would know that there is a God in heaven. Now you remember? He killed the giant so the whole world would know that there's a God in heaven. And when he killed the giant, the whole world knew he wasn't after Michael, he wasn't after the riches, he wasn't after his family. He was after giving God the glory. Hallelujah. The same is true here. He says, you return to me, I return to you. I rebuke the devourer, and all the nations shall call you blessed. And ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord wants you to be enriched with his blessings so that the world goes, man, I wish you'd be the envy of the world. When Israel came out of the land of Egypt, they went in broke, but the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So for 400 years, they worked and got nothing. But when they came out, the prophecy that was given to Abraham said when they come out in 400 years, they'll come out with great substance. Do you remember that? Well, they did. How did they get it? The world gave it to them. So much riches that they put it on their kids' back to cross the Red Sea. The problem was their riches that they pursued them and overcome them. But the reason the Lord gave them the riches was because when they came out, they said, oh, look at your God. Woo! Look, because gold and silver and all that was a sign of gods back then. They said, look at your God. But it corrupted them because they could not handle the riches. And so Jesus said that a rich man, very difficult to enter to the kingdom of heaven. Now to back this up, Amos 4 and 9. Y'all still with me? Amos 4 and 9 says, I have smitten you with blastings and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, okay, you thought you were doing good. Hallelujah. I never had so many blooms in all my life. You ought to see that tree. It's loaded. But here comes a palmer worm, devoured them. Yet, ye have not what? Returned to me. So when you don't return to me, go get them, worms. Go get them. Saith the Lord. The secret to not being devoured is to return to the Lord. The secret to not losing your increase is to return to the Lord what is his. Amen. If you're not careful, things in this world, you'll get swallowed up in it. You get swallowed up. You might remember when Moses and Aaron, they were worried about whether Pharaoh was going to believe them, all this kind of stuff. And so the Lord told Aaron when he got in front of the all the magicians, he cast his rod down. You remember that? And it became a snake. So here come all the magicians, and they did the same thing. There's a bunch of snakes. But Aaron's rod that became a snake swallowed up. That's what it said, swallowed up. It devoured them and consumed them. Then Aaron reaches down and picks his snake up and it become a rod again. And all their snakes was in his rod. All of their snakes, he got all their snakes. He got all their rods. Or you understand what I'm trying to preach to you? The Lord said, if you'll give, then I'll make sure that men give unto you, heap down, pressed down, running over, shall men heap into your bosom. The only reason I have clients today is because I live for God. That's it. God brings people to me. Without God, I couldn't do it. I'm almost done. No, 30 minutes or 40 minutes, something like that. When you look at the life of the prodigal son, he goes to his father and says, give me what is mine. The father didn't say, well, it's not your son, not yet. It was said, what rightfully is mine. He didn't ask for what was wrongfully his. He asked for what was rightfully his. And so he gave him that. And he goes and takes his journey. And when we go through the trip, we find out at the end of the trip, he wasted the substance. Right? He says, when it was wasted, then a great famine came to the land. He got swallowed up with righteous living. In fact, his older brother said this, that told his father that what you gave him was devoured. Devoured, that's the word he used, by riotous living. It got eat up. But here's my point. That's true. But when he returned to his father's house, the father made him prosperous again. All he's waiting for you to do is to return. He's not asking you to do anything else but return to me what is mine. Return. And when you return to the Lord what is already his, then he says, you come to me, I come to you. What happened when the prodigal son ran towards his father's house? His father sitting in a lounge chair said, son, it's been a long, you know, you should have never. No. The Bible says he ran out to meet him. So when you return to me, I return to you. It's just that simple. Are you getting anything out of this? As they come tonight, I'll try to close. I got so much I could tell you. Don't tempt me. I'll close with this. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You know what roots do for trees? Holds it up. Money props everything up. It does. It props it up. If you don't have money, it'll fall down. This church would fall down without money. It has to have money. But the love of it is the problem. And he's talking to Timothy, which is a pastor. He said, which while some coveted after. In other words, they were ministers for money. They have erred from the truth. You see, they got swallowed up with money. And when they got swallowed up with money, they left the gospel. I'm serious when I tell you this. And this is why I'm not liked. I wish it could go back to when my grandpa was. He died broke. The gospel never paid him enough to. There is a church in Oakdale. This is a true story. He went from place to place with a tent, sawed logs all day long, preached the gospel all night long. The church in De Quincey, both of those, which was one at one time, was brought in by a tent revival in 1915 by my grandfather. I didn't read where he got paid. I don't know how much he made off of that revival. Sure, a lot of people prayed through. But he was doing it for the souls of men. Him and his brother, Edgar Buddy, I don't remember which one it was, the story goes. They went to set up a tent in Oakdale, Louisiana. And they set up a tent, and they'd have great success every place, but not in Oakdale. And they were struggling. They had a revival, nothing nobody prayed through, nobody coming out. So they decided to catch a train from Oakdale to Kinder. And they didn't have enough money to board a train. So they said, Lord, you must be telling us something. We're going to stay. And today there's a church there because a man decided to stay because he had no money. The Gospel Lighthouse Church, UPC Church over there, my grandfather brought that in because he didn't have any money. And the revival broke out, people started coming, and they brought in a great work over there. Money is the death of the gospel. It's the death of it. And when you read the scripture, he said they erred from the faith and others pierced them through. No. They pierced themselves. They pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When God calls you to do something, he's not asking you to be prosperous off of it. He said, look, I'll take care of you. You just give, I'll give back. In more ways than you can ever imagine. But when people leave the faith over other things, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. And sometimes they're overcome with hobbies. They're overcome with all kinds of things. It doesn't matter. Like I said, you can be playing tennis. But you'll pierce yourself with many sorrows if you chase after the wrong thing. Amen. Paul suffered shipwreck. Falls out on an island with all these barbarous people. It's like, Lord, couldn't you put me on a better island? I mean, come on. I've been through the storms and all this kind of stuff. He's wet and they need a fire and then all the wood's wet and here's a tired man. He's wore out. He's beaten. He's stacking their wood. He's over there getting wood to build the fire. And they looking at him, and while he was picking up wood, a snake pierced him. A snake bit him. But it didn't poison him. We all get pierced, but we don't have to be poisoned. So he was pierced as that snake, and they said, oh, he must be a murderer. He was. He was. He's exactly right. He was. But he wasn't poisoned by it. He must be a robber. He was. He robbed people of their victory. He was a robber. But then when they saw that he was pierced and not poisoned, he must be a god. That guy there, he's a god. And of course, Paul preached to them the gospel message. So we live in a life, folks, that you're going to get pierced by other things, but don't pierce yourself. People pierce me, they'll pierce you, they pierced him, right? But I can't let it poison me with hatred and with anger and all malice and all these things because they pierced me. While they were piercing him, he was saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You're not going to poison me by piercing me. That's a whole nother message, y'all. But I close with this. This is my third closing. Paul said this. There'll come a day that death, which swallows us all, it's going to swallow every one of us. But death will be swallowed up with victory. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. You see, we're going to win in the end anyway. Because the victory through Christ, what he did, will swallow up the death and consume it that we might have life through his life. Why don't we stand and sing a song before we go home tonight?
You deserve the glory.